Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And welcome back to Happy Hour. Good morning, everybody. We've got ourselves another fantastic show ahead. It is Jonna. It is Carol. It is that dude that helps him out. And we've got another
What's
Sunday morning.
What's his name again?
I can't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
It's kind of weird.
Berryman? What is it?
No, Frankenstein?
Frankenberry. Yeah.
Just take Franken. You can add anything to Franken. Believe me. I've heard them all.
Well, let me ask you something. What is Happy Hour? Say somebody's listening for the first time saying, who are these people? What's the show? Now that we're clear on that.
Okay. It's not a happy it's not the happy hour where you guys get specials and I'm supposed to buy you drinks. It's the happy hour where we're hopefully going to help people think a little bit happier, yes. A little bit more positive, an hour of, you know, moving forward.
That's because we were just discussing the fact that 3 days from now is National Backward Day, and Frankenberry said we don't need a backward day, we need a forward
That's right.
day.
We've been living a backward day for the last 365 days, so we don't need a backwards day, thank you. It is what it is. Already.
Says you.
Yeah, lady.
So this show is exactly about that. We are here to offer some insight, some humor, some shenanigans, whatever we can give you to help you live a better and happier life. And today, I'm actually really excited to talk to author Carol Kershaw. She's going to be coming up in the next segment. She's the author of The Worry-Free Mind. Train your brain, calm the stress spin cycle, and discover a happier, more productive you. So if you deal with stress... A little bit.
Don't know anybody
who does. You'll want to listen. She's got some awesome, some big picture stuff to understand about stress, as well as very specific, actionable things you can do to reduce the amount of stress you feel.
Okay.
You want to hear something weird about that, though?
Yeah. Are you stressed out?
No, when you told me that we were going to have her on, I was like, wait a minute. How come I don't have her book? And then I searched through my phone, and I do have her book. But I'm so stressed out that I forgot that I bought her book.
Well, stress will do that. It affects your memory.
And that's a sign.
You know what we should also do, by the way?
What?
Have some sort of awards program for the longest title. Because I swear, every time we have a new person on, these books have the longest titles.
It's the subtitle.
And the subtitle and everything else. I mean, after...
Frankenberry, you can't name every book Happy Bitch.
Well,
all right.
There is that. But still, that's like.
But she has a really long subtitle
words.
Too.
I do too.
She does.
Yeah, you have a subtitle.
I know.
Yeah.
She's part of it.
I was just trying to get a shameless plug in there, and I thought I did a pretty good job, till you came along and popped my bubble.
She's definitely part of it.
So Carol, be great. So, good morning. You feeling happy today, kids? Stress?
I'm okay, other than Murphy caught up to me earlier this week. I know you guys,
Murphy's Law?
Yeah, Murphy, the Irishman. So he caught up to me earlier this week. I know we talked about last week.
Having a good week.
I was doing well, and you guys were being all, pissy. But for me, I was
Tell
doing
us how
fine.
You really feel.
And I know you guys always give me a hard time every now and then for being maybe a glass half empty kind of thing and maybe thinking negative, and I don't. But I did receive last Thursday my extra paycheck. I get paid every 2 weeks, so it feels like it's every 6 months I get an extra check
in a month.
Yes,
right.
So
right.
It's one for me that I can, hopefully I can bank it, just put it away, breathe a little bit easier for 5 minutes. But I swear, literally, in my time at PAML, I have only been able to keep one of those checks. And last Thursday, the day I got paid on Thursday morning,
Murphy rang the doorbell.
Four different engine lights went off in my car.
Oh. I told him, were talking before you got here, because we're here at like 5 a.m., and we were talking, me and Frankenberry, and I said to him, I said, Frankenberry, the reason why your car did that is because you were expecting your car to do that, and your car picked up on your vibe, you got your extra check, you had it in your head that you weren't going to be able to keep it, and then bam! On goes your engine light.
That's right, because my sentient car got very upset with me because I wasn't being positive while holding his steering wheel.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's how this works?
That's how it goes.
And there is the rub. So I get the law of attraction. I practice the, focus on the positive, although I'm human, and fall back sometimes. But it is challenging when you have a whole lot of evidence to the contrary. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he has had that. So that's the trick, is to ignore the evidence of the past and focus on the good to come.
I mean, look, it's true. Might I get a good blog post out of it? I certainly might.
Yes. See?
Crap is great.
But the blog post isn't going to pay for whatever sensor it is that I have to have replaced. Or however many of them have to be replaced.
But yet, hopefully, unless Frankenberry's attic blog becomes huge and starts gaining lots of advertising.
Or the warranty covers it. Either one.
Well, yeah, we'll find out on that warranty.
Either or. So I've been doing a lot of, because I told you guys this, you know how I'm not a big meditator, but I have started meditating.
Yes. You changed your ways, partially.
I did. And I like it. And I took a small hiatus from meditating. It was after the first of the year. I don't know what happened. Just got busy, whatever. But I'm back on it. I'm back on the meditating. And I do it first thing in the morning so I can focus my energies where I want them to go. And then I get out of bed and then I do my thing.
Good for you.
But there's a problem now. I noticed that when I wake up and I do my meditation, it has a tendency to put me back to sleep. I know. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. So like this morning, right? I'm like, okay, I start my meditation. And it's like, I guess it's probably about 5 o'clock in the morning. I start the meditation. And at some point, I don't even remember, I lulled back off to sleep. I woke up, it was 5:34. And I'm like, ugh. But I picked up where I left off. Like, I remember where I left off.
Oh, wow.
I just picked up. But it happened a couple more times. And I'm like, I don't think this is how the meditation is supposed to work. Maybe I have to wake myself up more. Or maybe I need I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, maybe you do it before you go to bed.
Oh, but then I'll fall asleep. See, I want to focus my energy for the day. That's why I want to do it in the morning.
Here's
no noise.
Do it over your coffee.
Do it over the coffee?
Pop your little Keurig pod in, your Starbucks pod, and give yourself 5 minutes over, because I think coffee is sacred. I love sleep. I love coffee.
Mm-hmm. And you love dishwasher noise.
I do love dishwasher noise.
Who did we talk to 2 weeks ago? Chris? Who was the guy?
Chris Johnson on
Chris
Target
Johnson.
Living.
A meditator.
So why can't you instead try to do that 60-second breathing, turn it into a meditation, and do that, like Carol said, maybe over your cup of coffee, maybe when if somebody's driving you into the city, do that in the car. Mm-hmm. You know, do that during your day. Take your lunch break before you run off to go get something, or when you're done, take that 60 seconds and do that breathing. I've been trying to do that myself. So,
but my meditation isn't just the breathing. Like, I have
Following a process? Are you doing visions?
No.
From Code of Extraordinary Mind?
Please. I paved my own way.
Carol, she just started this, Carol.
I meditate to my own drum. All right, I got to do it the way. Okay.
There's a process. Imagine that.
She's cheating at meditating.
Sure. Imagine that, Frankenberry.
And my meditation includes a whole litany of things for which I'm very grateful.
That's perfect.
And then I talk about things that I actually do not possess yet, but would appreciate possessing at some point in the near future. And then I get up and I start my day.
Unless, of course, you're falling back asleep.
Unless I fall back asleep two or three or four times. I don't know. Maybe I'm so relaxed.
Hit the snooze then. That's all. You got a snooze alarm. What do you go? Uh-huh. Set your phone. Instead of shutting the alarm off, hit snooze. That way you know. But within 10 minutes, if you fall back asleep, it's going to get you back up.
I don't wake up to the alarm. I just wake up.
Oh,
which I do the same. Oh, but and that's probably because you're not sleeping as well as you could. And I know I don't. Mm. So maybe your meditation that early in the morning is telling you. Maybe that's what your meditation is saying. It's saying, babe, you're not getting enough sleep.
Go back to bed.
That's brutal.
No, but I mean it. Because if you're giving yourself that process, you're getting up for that process, you're asking the meditation to do something for you. In this particular case, it is telling you that you have not gotten enough sleep yet and you're not ready for your day.
Hold the phone. Jonna. Jonna.
Look at that face.
Do you realize what has just happened here?
Frank and Perry said something smart.
Well, yes, that is true. I think we have...
Thanks, cartoon character.
We have officially brought him over from the dark side.
Oh,
well, no, you haven't. I'm just logically thinking about what her meditation is telling you.
Heaven forbid.
No, I didn't do it myself. It's not like I walked in here and said, hey, guess what I discovered today? I had a breakthrough on meditation this morning. You know? No, I was...
No, but your observation.
Okay, well, the observation is there.
You're right.
I would make the same observation even if I was sitting at the Toyota dealership, waiting to find out what's wrong with my car, courtesy of that Murphy guy.
Well, that was a very zen observation.
Well, thank
you. And I will take it under advisement. I shall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's at least I'm meditating. Even if I'm doing it wrong.
I've gotten out of my habit. I need to start doing it again.
It really does.
Let me ask you something. So last week we were talking and you were on a 2-week crank. Mm-hmm. Like you had an extended mood.
Yeah.
A bad one.
Yeah. I did.
A witchy one.
Yes.
So are you out of it?
I'm out of it.
Seems like you're out of it.
I am out of it.
Do you know how you got out of it?
Raccoons.
You gotta follow her on Facebook to get that.
No, I think I just kicked my own butt out of it. It's no fun to be in one of those extended, annoyed kind of moods.
It's not.
Whether it's biological, whether it's just environmental, I don't know. But it's not good to be in one of those. And I gotta tell you, I know it sounds so hocus pocusy, but like my life is back to normal. Like once you get yourself out of that funk, and it all feeds on itself, right? You get in a funk, and then, like you sometimes feel, Frankenberry, you're in a funk, and then everything seems to go wrong, and that puts you even deeper into a funk.
Yeah.
Then when you get out of the funk, or I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg, at some point you either get out of the funk and then everything is light again, or everything gets light again, so that pulls you out of the funk. I don't know.
Yeah, chicken or the egg is right, but you're right. That's exactly how it goes.
Yeah.
So I gotta remember when I'm in the funk, I got to tell myself it never stays this way.
Inevitably,
when I have like a really, and I'm not a, I don't lean towards the grouchy side, you know, pretty easy going. But when I have a really bad day where I feel like my emotional reserves are
depleted.
Non-existent, and every little thing is getting to me, and what's wrong with my life?
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single time, the next morning I wake up, and it's like I feel cleared from it. Like,
yeah.
But you know what? I've always given myself a carrot on a bad day. Where do I want my day to be at the end so it's better than it is now? And then you just work to get to that moment. Because I used to have a lot of difficulty driving. More than, say, 20 or 30 miles, because I had a very, very bad moment after my marriage and I moved back from Pittsburgh to New York. I had a very, very bad moment on the highway and I had a very difficult time driving more than, like, say, 20 or 30 miles. So if I would go visit my buddy in Connecticut, now I've got a little bit of a height to get home. And there used to be some moments where I was white knuckling it because I was starting to have anxiety attacks. Wow. But all I had to do was say to myself, you know, breathe a little bit. But if I said to myself, I know where I want to be when I'm done with this car ride, it's going to be sitting in my house, relaxed. I'll feed the cats. Everything's going to be good. At that time, I'll say hi to my brother and sister. I'll be all good. And just that carrot, where I want to be at the end of this crappy day or crappy week, is the only thing that would hurt. And it works for me now.
Frankenberry, that's brilliant. And when we're in something, and some it could be a mini anxiety attack, or even when we were talking about divorce, when you're in the midst of something, it's overwhelming, all consuming, and it feels like it's like attached to you, it's never going to leave. So that's a technique you can use, I think, for anything. Is okay, inevitably, whatever you're going through right now will be history. At some point, it's going to be behind you.
Right.
So if you can focus exactly like you did on, okay, where do I want to be once this is behind me? And that, I think, helps your perspective, helps your mood, helps your clarity, everything. Calms you down.
And it brings that toward you, right? So when you focus on what you want, it brings that toward you instead of you focusing on what you don't want and bringing that toward you, or focusing on how you don't have what you want and then you're focusing on the lack. So you focus on how you want your day to look at the end of the day, boom, that's what it's going to look like most of the time.
Yes, at least that's what you hope for.
Things go according to plan. Right. And if things go according to plan, we will be back in a few minutes talking with Carol Kershaw. She is the author of The Worry-Free Mind. Train your brain, calm the stress spin cycle, and discover a happier, more productive you. She's awesome. We've talked with her before. She's going to talk to us about what's happening when we're feeling stressful. And she's got great, very simple, free tips, things you can do. I remember them from last time that you can do to switch the state of your brain waves and calm yourself down, get better memory, more clarity, better mood, all that. She's awesome.
I cannot wait.
All right, cool. We're going to learn stuff from a long subtitle on the way. Carol and Jonna, this is Happy Hour. We'll be back. On K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we are back, and it's time now for us to get to our guest for the morning and learn stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. So listen up, peeps. If you deal with a worry, are you a worrier? Do you have stress in your life? I think we all have, we all experience it to varying degrees, and some of us.
Some more than others.
Yeah, some more than others, and some where it can even be debilitating and sadly can lead to illness.
Mm-hmm.
So our guest that we have with us this morning is Carol Kershaw. She is the co-author of The Worry-Free Mind. Train your brain, calm the stress spin cycle, and discover a happier, more productive you. She is a licensed clinical psychologist in Texas. She's also the co-director of the Milton Erickson Institute of Houston, as well as a board she's board certified in neurofeedback. We're going to find out what that is in a minute. She's also published The Couple's Hypnotic Dance. She's also co-author of Brain Change Therapy and the book we are going to talk about, her latest book, The Worry-Free Mind. She's an international trainer and the latest neuroscience research and creating the best mental health. Carol, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I guess where I'd like to begin, because this is how your book begins, is share with our listeners. I always like to understand why things happen, even when things don't, when they break down or how things work. I always want to understand why. So can you begin by helping us understand why it is we even worry in the first place? Why do we stress? And stress is an active act.
Yes, it's a great question. Everybody actually wonders that. You know, we're wired neurologically to pay attention to potential threats. And so, you know, we have what's called a fight, flight, freeze, faint system, your stress system. And you're always, let's say, if you go into a situation that you've not been in before, you're scanning your environment for threat. And if you feel upset at some level and that hasn't gotten worked through, you're going to wake up in the morning ruminating about something. And so we have to really train our mind to interrupt that habitual pattern. And it does take some effort.
So there was a time where if we didn't worry, if we weren't scanning our environment for potential threats, we'd get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. So
that's exactly right. And that, you know, it's a survival tool. So we really do need it, even today.
Dr. Carol, I want to ask you something a little bit off topic, just because you said a word that made me very curious. When you said that we're trained to fight, flight, would you say?
Freeze.
And then faint. The fainting part. How does that serve us, or did it serve us?
Well, if people are so overwhelmed with stress, and I'm talking about maybe severe trauma, the brain blacks out. You know, I remember years ago, I was on a freeway in Dallas, and I saw this big truck coming at me, and everything went into slow motion. I know people have had that experience before.
Yes,
That's the faint kind of thing. Now, maybe you don't actually go unconscious, although some people have had that experience. It's a way of surviving and getting yourself more in control of what's happening.
Interesting, because I would think, like, you know, historically, if I were about to get eaten by a tiger and I fainted, all that would do was make the death less painful. but I got you.
Hey,
okay,
way to look at the bright side, you know?
Right.
So we are biologically wired. It's a survival mechanism for us to worry. The problem that it comes in today is we don't have that release of that adrenaline, you know, is that you either, you know, you run or you fight the tiger and then you get it out of your system, number one. And number two, we tend to hang on to that worry and ruminate, right?
Yes. Well, you know, we live in a society where if you have your TV on for very long, CNN is going to go breaking news, you know, which is a sign for, okay, look out, something bad is happening and we're going to tell you about it. So it's something else for you to worry about. So we have to really create a sanctuary somewhere, whether you can go outside, take a walk in nature, or do something where you're interrupting this constant barrage. The brain needs to go through a process of resetting. And that means we really actually have the capacity to do that every night. We go to sleep, we pass through different sleep stages and we wake up, and, you know, sometimes we'll have the thought, well, gosh, why was I concerned about X? Often that happens. Or we have an interesting solution that pops in the mind, you know. It's a very cool thing, the way the brain operates like that.
Carol, I want to give a layman's description of what's going on, and feel free to make fun of me or correct me
done.
So, and this is, you are board certified in neurofeedback. I'm just an avid reader, and I really want to understand the human brain personality, what makes us tick and all of that. So,
can I make fun of you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Anytime. You know, I'm here. I'm here to serve. So my understanding of it is this. Our brains have what's called neuroplasticity, that our thoughts travel on pathways through our brain. And it, just like when a drip of water keeps accumulating and it becomes a trickle and it becomes a stream and it becomes a river and it becomes the Grand Canyon, our thoughts, when they keep riding on the same pathway, negative, worry, we create kind of grooves. Like, that's the path of least resistance, and our thoughts will want to continue to go that way. So understanding why people, maybe you tend to be a worrier, is you've created that groove. But the brain has the ability to rewire, right? And you train your brain to create new pathways to recognize and stop the worry and put it in a better direction. How'd I do?
That's oh, you did fantastic. That's exactly right.
You get a gold star.
That's exactly right. So, you know, there was a research a long time ago that said neurons that wire together fire together, and that was your description that you basically said. We lay down these neural pathways. We actually have a cool little film you can get on YouTube of how thinking new thoughts occurs in terms of creating new pathways in the brain. But you have to interrupt the old pattern so they shrink up enough so you're not always on automatic firing. And like I said, that it takes some practice through meditation or doing something every day where you're not in a very intense state of anxiety. And we also make the distinction between concerns and worry. We all have concerns about things, but we don't have to let them move into creating a worry mind, so we're just ruminating about it all the time.
Something else that was really enlightening to me about your book, The Worry-Free Mind, and I have read it numerous times. As I said, I've got corners turned and highlights, and my co-hosts can attest to that. But what really struck me about, first of all, the content is phenomenal. It can totally, absolutely help you reduce your stress, which gives you better health, better clarity, better memory. It's just going to make you a better you. But what struck me about your book and the basis of the content is you hear so much about just focus on the positive, switch your thoughts, just choose a better thought. And when you are stuck in a really difficult place, that's not always so easy to do. But what I learned from you, Carol, is that another way to get there is to find a way to switch your brain state first. What wave you're using in that moment, which makes it easier to clear your mind and helps you reach for a better thought. Can you talk about the different brain wave states and some of the things we can do that will switch us to a better state that makes it easier to reach for a better thought?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So, first of all, we like to teach people this idea that is really transformative, and that is your brain state that you're in creates your reality. And so we have ranges of brain frequencies. There are electrical firing in the brain from delta that we have that's dominant when we're sleeping, theta, kind of meditation state, alpha we need for comfort, and beta we need for solving problems and thinking through things. And we have the ability to shift if we're in a high beta state, for example, we're worrying about something. We can't usually go from one extreme to the other without bridging the state. So what most people do is if they're in a high state of worry is they'll continue to slog through it. And, of course, the worry gets stronger and the the amplitudes of your brain frequencies get higher. We can see that on our EEG machine. And that is not a way to manage anything. So one of the best things to do is to take a break and take your mind away from the problem you've been working on. And it sounds like an odd thing, you know, because we're very, you know, being in the U.S., Americans, you know, go after a problem until it's solved. It's a cultural kind of thing we do.
And it's counterintuitive to say you're going to have better results solving this problem if you step away for a minute.
That's right. Or even even stop working on it and go to a movie or you know, sleep on it. Because you completely change your brain, your dominant brain frequency when you have that break.
I agree with that. I think the one thing that people need to not do, though, is step away from it and step into like a giant glass of wine or six.
Or six.
I think that. Right? Because sometimes we do that, right? We'll step away. We'll have a margarita and then we'll have another margarita. Then we don't give a crap about the original problem.
Who cares? I didn't solve it. Doesn't matter.
I'm not saying I know from experience or nothing.
She's saying it for a friend.
But you know what's funny, Ashley? Carol, though, what you said there, have you ever just been able to look at somebody and just point out to them that they already do that? Because how many times have you guys been in the middle of something and you've just said to yourself, or maybe you've said to your friends, guys, we got to take a break.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, let's go play some basketball.
Yes.
People already do that, but they might not be aware. If you point out to them that what they're doing is what you need to do to be able to step away from a problem, they might be able to say to themselves, holy cow, I've been doing this my whole life anyway.
Right. And that's when you get those, and you talk about this in your book, those eureka moments. When you do step away and you're engaged in something like driving, washing dishes, drying your hair, something that requires modest attention, and all of a sudden, boom. And I have had this happen to me so many times, Carol, when I'm walking my dog, that I can't figure it out. And it's like, boom, it just shows up.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, you have an amazing creative mind. Everybody does. We studied Dr. Milton Erickson, who was one of the greatest hypnotherapists ever. And he used to say to his students, tell me, how many ways can you go from Phoenix to Tucson and back again? He lived in Phoenix. And they would come up with a variety of things and run out of ideas. And he would always say to them, if you relax your mind, your mind will come up with a whole lot of other solutions. The mind is a solution generator, and it's unlimited. I wanted to mention something about drinking wine. So occasionally, that's all right. But if a person does that a lot, we see this also on our EEG machine. What happens is the brain's ability to produce alpha, that's our self-comforting frequency, disappears. And so people get, you know, it takes more and more alcohol and they get more and more anxious. So it's in a never-ending cycle.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But that's never something permanent, right? Like if you're an alcoholic and you quit drinking, you can regain your ability to get back into alpha naturally, right?
You can, but usually it's, you know, this is where some of the programs, which they're very, very good, but they don't go far enough unless they offer the neurofeedback training. It's actually brain training to help the brain get reminded about how to produce alpha. It takes, it can take years for an alcoholic to do it without neurofeedback, whereas it can take about 40 sessions on neurofeedback.
Wow,
is right.
And so let's talk for a minute about the reason that's happening. So what we were just talking about is that when you are like in hyper extended beta state where you're really trying to solve a problem and you're getting stressed out about it, you're actually reducing significantly your creative abilities. You are operating at a fraction of what your brain is capable of doing.
That's right, exactly, yes.
And if you understand that's what's happening and you find a way to step away, breathe for 60 seconds, go for a walk, and that's what I want to get into next are some of your very specific tips as to how you can switch brain states and calm yourself down. You will then increase your ability to solve problems and come up with creative solutions.
You will, and we were just doing a workshop on resolving trauma. We were in Minnesota, and talking about the use of the what we call the deep dive state. That's an intentional taking your mind all the way down to the edge of sleep and hovering there, just sitting there for about 10 minutes without doing anything. And the brain has this amazing capacity that stays so cool that in that state, it releases what's called anandamide. It's a neuropeptide. It's a Sanskrit word for bliss. And the neuropeptide has almost exactly the same chemical structure as marijuana.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So, I know.
Is wow.
That so cool? You don't have to go to California or, It's your brain's own marijuana. And it turns out that is our healing system. Just like we have a stress system, we have the opposite. So we need that reset. And we do it naturally every night. Of course, if people use chemicals like too much wine, they're not going to get that regenerative sleeping happening.
Carol, while we're getting into this now, I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about, because we teased our listeners and we told them that we've got very specific things they can do.
Yes.
We just talked a little bit there. Can you talk about, there's a couple of bilateral movement. I remember this from last time that we talked. Talk about that for a second.
Yes, this is really a really cool thing
easy.
To do. So very easy to do. First of all, what is bilateral movement? You're swinging your arms. Or you're doing something where you're engaging both hemispheres. And so one really neat tool is to think about a problem you're having, give it a number, 1 to 10, 10 being high on tension or stress, and take a ball and begin slowly tossing it back and forth from hand to hand across your midline. As you breathe, breathing is important here. Some people hold their breath. And do that 6 or 8 times, and then think about what your number is now. Generally, it will reduce in intensity. And then you keep going until you get yourself down to a 1. And then think about the problem again. If your number goes back up, do it again. And you will get to the place where you that number won't increase anymore. And the reason is you have just equalized blood flow in the hemispheres of the brain. When we're anxious or when we're having a panic attack, blood flow is unequal in the brain, and that makes our experience worse. And so you can do drumming on the table.
This is one of the reasons walking is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's left, right, left, right. I remember last time, too, that we talked about it, Carol, is that bilateral movement, if you can toss a ball back and forth, great. Say you're in a meeting and you're starting to get stressed out. I remember we talked about this, that you can put your hands under the table and lift your left index, lift your right index finger back and forth and back and forth.
And
that will equalize the blood flow and calm you down and help you think more clearly.
Yes, and nobody needs to know what you're doing. It's really cool.
I love that. And that's what I love about your book is it's really, really so full of insight about why we stress and what to do about it. But some of the things to do are so practical and easy. The other, can you talk about the nostril trick?
Well, this is really kind of interesting. So, we use this with writers sometimes. So if... our breathing, I love this word, $25 word, is contralaterally located or wired up. So our left nostril and right nostril. Right nostril is related to our left hemisphere, and the left one is related to the right hemisphere. So you are always going through a period of time in a biological cycle where your nasal dominant breathing shifts. So if you think about noticing just right now, which nasal area is more open?
Huh.
What would you say?
It's my right.
So your left hemisphere is more dominant, and that would make sense because you're probably having a little bit more beta because you're trying to figure out what questions to ask and paying attention to the information and so forth.
Wow. Right.
Wild, right?
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so every 90 to 120 minutes, our nasal breathing automatically shifts. But you can lie down on the floor let's say you want to engage your left, I mean your right hemisphere, so you lie down on your right side until the left nostril opens a little bit more, and you've just stimulated the right hemisphere, which is your creative side, and you may start having interesting ideas.
Isn't that great? So, Frankie Berry, when you want to write your next blog post for Frankie Berry's Attic, and you want to get some creative ideas flowing, just lie down on the floor on your right side, open up that left nostril, and start writing.
Okay, and if I want to get more, if I want to get more creative here at work, I'll just I'll do the same thing until people call 911. Yeah, you know, step in my studio. God, Frankenberry's on the floor.
Again.
Again. With something shoved up the right side of his nose. Yes.
Again. All right. So, Carol, we're about wrapping up here on time. One more easy tip that I remember reading in your book, and this is a way to shift brain states so you feel less anxiety, you can think more clearly, and reach for that positive, creative, helpful thought rather than the ones that make you worry and hold you back. And that is using your peripherals. Did I say that right?
Peripheral vision, yes. Yeah, so when we get very, very upset, we tend to stop noticing our peripheral vision. This is what happens to people if they have a driving phobia. They start narrowly focusing. So if you expand your vision, you can focus on a spot in front of you and then notice what you see from side to side as you continue to look forward. And it also shifts you into a little alpha comfort.
Amazing.
Alpha state.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
It is.
And I mean, and who can't, well, some people, I guess, maybe if you're limited in movement, but who can't move your left, right arm? And I remember you even saying, take your eyes and look to the left, look to the right, look to the left, look to the right. Whatever way you can do a bilateral movement, that's free. We can do that in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
The nostril trick, I guess, you know, you can't lay on the floor all the time, but any of us can take a moment out of our day, look ahead, realize where we are stressed out, we want to calm down, and just bring your attention to your peripheral vision. I mean, easy.
It's very easy, and if you are worried somebody's going to walk in on you and you're on the floor, don't do that. Sit in your chair.
Well, I'm not worried about people walking in and seeing that. I'm worried about their reactions to it.
So sit in your chair and notice the feeling you're having and look straight up at the ceiling. You can't keep the feeling going. You might have the thought about it, and you might shuffle back and forth. Most people go, oh, I cannot believe this. I thought I had to be in therapy 3 years. And I don't mean to make fun of that, because, you know, working on what's happened is very important. But this is a very cool tool to interrupt worry immediately.
Your whole book, Carol, is so valuable. I highly recommend you to pick it up. It's The Worry-Free Mind, Train Your Brain, Calm the Stress Spin Cycle, and Discover a Happier, More Productive You. Carol Kershaw and Bill Wade are the authors, and we're wrapping up here with Carol Kershaw. Carol, are there any other final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners, something that we didn't cover that's important, or have we got the best tips of the iceberg here?
Yeah, you've got really good tips, but if people were interested in getting our monthly newsletter, we try to keep people up on the latest discoveries. They can go to drscarolandbill.com. That's without punctuation. That's our website. And just give us their email, and they'll be set.
Nice.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Carol. We'd love to have you back on again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, that was great. Thank you. Thank you again. And we are going to return with more from Happy Hour. And, Jonna, did you have anything you wanted to talk about in our next segment?
We're going to keep the conversation on stress going and talk about all the physical crappy things it can do to you if you don't run out and get this problem off.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect.
All right, if you're just waking up on this Sunday morning, Jonna's going to scare the crap out of you when we come back. Good for you. All
right. I do what I do.
This is Happy Hour on K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we have returned for segment number 3. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Frankenberry.
I think we need to do that again.
No, that was fine.
You know what? We need to let listeners know that someday we're going to invite them here to watch what happens when we're in between segments. because it's fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
Well, here's what I think we should do.
What?
Because some of our best stuff is off air that we would get fired. We can't really get, well, you might get fired, Frank and Mary.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
We can't say certain things we want to say on air, how we want to say them. So I think what we should do is maybe create a second show and make a podcast out of it. And
We can do that.
And make it be like a free-for-all. Yeah. Not a happy hour. Let's make it after hours.
After hours of John
and Carol.
I'm good with that. But during regular hours right now, John is going to scare the crap out of people for like 6 minutes. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when I used to do, at the old radio station, we had John Tesh, and he was syndicated. And some of John Tesh, yes, he could be a little slow, you know, but he did have some interesting facts. He would tell you some things that you didn't know. But the thing is, a lot of his interesting facts were things that could hurt you.
Oh.
Okay, coming up next, do you know how many germs are on that phone in your office?
Yeah. Right.
So this is Jonna's version of telling you all the things that could kill you in your everyday life.
If you're too stressed out. But well, then we will remind you to pick up the worry-free mind and you can do something about it.
Yes, because our fabulous guest, Dr. Carol Kershaw, was talking about very incredibly simple things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very simple.
You can do to get de-stressed, right? But here's the thing. In my younger days, my stomach is making a noise that may be audible on this microphone. I'm not entirely sure.
Haven't heard it. Turn the mic up.
In my younger days, tell me if you agree. I thought stress is just this kind of normal thing. And no matter how much stress you're under, it's not like breaking an arm, right? That's something physical. And you know 6 weeks later, it's going to be healed. Stress, it can come in 5 minutes, it can go in 5 minutes. But the truth of the matter is, stress can really hurt you physically if you're under it chronically for long periods of time. And I think we kind of forget that. Or maybe we never knew that. So just to get you all on the same page, literally.
Now I'm looking, by the way, at the top of that page. Did you actually go to WebMD for some of this? Because you know if you go to WebMD, just a hangnail is going to kill you, right?
Listen, I have.
I'm just giving you the heads up.
I have self-diagnosed myself with very deadly diseases, and here I am, still kicking. All right? So, just to let you know.
I went to WebMD once with a pain in the back of my knee, and I ended up in the emergency room. You know what happened?
What happened?
The doctor saw that I was wearing Batman underwear, and it was only varicose veins. All right? So, that was a long day. All courtesy of WebMD, I'm just telling you. So, you got to be careful.
This is a true story.
Because he's told us that before. And that's your own fault. Because it's not like you were in an accident and they took you to the hospital in an ambulance and you were like, oh, crap, I'm wearing my Batman underwear.
Well, no, if that were the case, it would have been my Batman underwear with holes in it to disappoint my mother.
And who gets a back of the knee pain? It's just knee pain. Yours was specifically in the back of the knee?
He thought he had a blood clot, probably.
I did. That's what it said in WebMD.
All right, so tell us how stress makes us sick.
Sorry.
All right. So while we are programmed to adapt to a little bit of stress, a lot of stress can do the following, and it's only going to get worse from here. Please listen. Low energy. Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me all the time. Headaches. Upset stomach, including words that I cannot say, won't say. The one word I will say is nausea. I won't say the other two.
I know which ones you're talking about. I was wearing that shirt last week.
Aches, pains, and tense muscles.
Yep.
Chest pain and rapid heartbeat, insomnia, frequent colds and infections, loss of sexual desire or, wait for it, ability. Desire and ability, Frank and Barry.
Sunday morning, Jonas Billboard.
I don't know what that means, so I'm going to keep on going. Nervousness and shaking, ringing in the ear. And I'm going to admit something to you. Between the three of us, I get ringing in the ear a lot.
Do you really?
Yep. Cold.
Isn't it tinnitus?
You tell me. You're the one who apparently is always on WebMD.
No, thank you. There was a once. That's why I've always warned people since then.
And here's what I know to be of my friend, only because she's told me that I don't think that Batman?
Yes, it was Batman
underwear. That's not going to be an issue in her circumstance.
No,
okay.
No,
will
not.
No, it
that's
won't
right.
Be.
Dry mouth and difficulty swallowing, clenched jaw and grinding teeth. I lost a tooth because of
you're
that.
You're a grinder.
I'm a grinder, and I lost a tooth because of that. Now, those are just your little everyday little things that can happen to you when you're under too much stress.
So now you're going to give us bigger things, right?
Let's move on, shall we?
You know what's good about this being early in the morning on a Sunday?
Nobody's listening.
No, is that they all get to go to church when they're done. Okay, come on, kids. We're all going to church. Dad, we haven't been to church in months. We're going to church today.
My finger hurts. All right, so the consequences of long-term stress. So when these little things happen to you long-term, here's what can happen. Freaking heart disease.
Freaking heart disease,
including high blood pressure, mm-hmm. abnormal mm-hmm. rhythms, heart attack, and stroke.
Yes.
That's no joke. Obesity and other eating disorders. That's the lightest one on this list. Menstrual problems, Frankenberry. We know you suffer from them from time to time.
I do. I take pills.
Sexual dysfunction. Since it is Sunday morning, I'm not going to say the rest. I just told you about the loss of sexual desire in both men and women. Here's a big one. Skin and hair problems such as acne, psoriasis, eczema, and wait for it, permanent hair loss.
Okay. All right. So we get the point. All right.
And I ain't done.
No, she wants
gastrointestinal
to continue. She's enjoying
problems,
this.
Such as GERD, colitis, and irritable colon.
And by the way, for everybody out there in the audience, do you want to know how Jonna de-stresses? That was just it.
She pokes her paper with her pen and draws circles and dots and all. All right. So that is all accurate information. Stress has a physical effect on us, negative physical effect on us.
This list is basically saying it can kill you.
Yeah.
It can. On the brighter side, because that's where I tend to lean, it has to be chronic for it to happen. So a certain amount of stress in our lives is normal. So don't mm-hmm. think because you get stressed out that there's something wrong with you or your life. We all have it. It's just part of life. Right. Number one. Number two.
You look disappointed.
Pick up The Worry-Free Mind by Carol Kershaw. She was our guest earlier in the show, and she offers amazing, very easy tips that you can do to immediately reduce the amount of stress you're experiencing. It's not always about, I have to fix the things around me to stress less. There are ways you can correct what's going on inside of you experience less stress.
Right, and her very simple bilateral movement. I mean, that is the easiest thing of everything she talked about. You know, you get very stressed out, just take your right hand and your left hand and just start, you know, bouncing them up and down a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, and it's funny, I notice I do that nervously. I've always said it was just being hyper, but I do that with my left and right leg when I'm working, when I'm doing my stuff and I'm putting together pieces and commercials and everything else. My legs are constantly going back and forth.
Your body knows what it is.
And she says what you're doing is you're equalizing the blood flow to your brain, which reduces your anxiety. Right. As well as the other tip she said is to focus on a point ahead of you, keep your eyes straight, and then bring your attention to your peripheral vision. Mm-hmm. That was one of them.
And if you want to be creative, stick a tampon up your right nostril, lay on your right side, and that'll open up the...
You put nothing up your nostril.
Well, that's what I was envisioning when she said it, though.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
No,
you didn't even have to touch your nose.
Part.
You lay on your right side, opens up your left nostril naturally, which then increases the blood flow to the right side of your brain,
You can pinch the right side of your nose.
Seriously. The worry-free mind.
Do you see what she's doing again? She always has to make it a Jonna rule. It's always got to be Jonna's way.
I just like to do things faster, more efficiently. That's all I'm saying.
Where did the tampon in your nostril come from? You got to go in your bag for that. You got to tear it open. You got to lay on the floor. You got to try to find a comfortable place to shove it in your nostril. I mean, that takes time.
All right.
We
got to go.
Okay, we got to go.
We'll be back next week.
All right. That was Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And we hope that you have learned something today and you have been de-stressed.
Don't listen to a word I said.
Okay, yes. We will be back next Sunday at 7 o'clock. This is K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.